the prayer requirement is obviously the software says, well, that's a trainer. That's why they are getting caught in the case of the
Circuit didn't case specifically use Doolin's jury instruction. So this really goes right down to the heart of what the prosecutor has proved. And so it's not really important as that circuit. Not unless we have that circuit case that discusses suitability. There really aren't a lot of cases that come from the North position. I think you're saying, in your data, that the jury didn't need an instruction that they will receive because under the theory of post-market confusion is enough. So it specifically said, it's not the silver handle that we need. The prosecutor didn't need to prove that. It could be making the most assumption, but confusion is always enough. I think it's part of, as I mentioned, the common will be clearly the prosecutor's schedule for offense. And also, the district court raised the U.S. Supreme Court case comes from the National Human Development. And that's cited for the language that says that the district court that's not necessarily an explicit official agreement to fraud. Now, if you want to make a decision, whatever you decide, a thing that matches, you can stick with the rest of the way, including if you're being or invariably fraud. It still was very careful to kind of point out that this is an exception to a very narrow rule related to a false declaration. A false filing is just a temporary, so it's something coming to a perjury. And you can use that in a very expressed example of a large statute where 99.9% are not invariably, as Judge Titus explained, as far as fraud, not necessarily default fraud. It seems like it's
Your Honor's appellant is eligible to neutralize its certification for child endangerment because it's categorically invariably valid. It also honors its human competition for its
own people to fall to one side of the spectrum. Is it fraud when the seller says to the buyer, this is a knockoff, it's a Rolex, and it will, your misbuck Rolex and your friends think you bought a Rolex, but it's not. And I'm going to sell it to you for $25. Is that fraud?
Yes, Your Honor, because you are, while you may not be confusing the direct buyer, you are confusing the money.
But also, confusing is not the definition of fraud. Deceit is the definition. You need to deceive under the confusion order to be fraud. So, but you may want to say that this year is seen under the general
Yes, Your Honor. Well, first of all, you have to back up that the INA, which requires involves deceit or fraud or deceit. So, deceit being defined as the kind to be,
which I'm assuming the buyer's question really is, is it deceit that seems first purchasing, or is it a broader sense of deceit, deceiving the world?
Under the statute, I mean, that is interpreted correct. So, we don't have to deceive the buyer into saving. The general proposition is enough to buy the judgment in the American. However, I don't think that what we're
saying about the increase in generating fraud.
Yes, Your Honor, it is. The elements of deceiving the judgment is require that you intend to judgment and that you know the judgment requires are likely to confuse evidence. And if you look at the definition of confusion,
what's the definition of
confusion? But there, based on the definition, is involves fraud or deceit, which is policy and caution of the Supreme Court defined as act or process that is obsolete and with falsification, concealment, or cheating. So it is broader from what we need to know. All those three things, confusion in the trademark context, means the incorrect perception formed by the purchaser or user of the product's origin. So it's not that general understanding of fusion. As we know, there's a definition of what fusion is in the consenting statute. I just want to check if we can bring out the more current term. Is it under the agreement that the prosecutor or the prosecutor right at the beginning? There's no continuing. There's no requirement, right? Correct. But there can be, the prosecutor has to prove that there would be a likelihood of confusion. Not necessarily for the judge. The standard under the sample jury instructions says that to meet the standard, you have to show the first part of the likely to be confusion, which causes your disease to turn at 40% of the average consumer, and let it away, or so far, it's actually just laying in the first process. So, yes. I'm sorry, the judge is saying that it is less confusing for the consumer. That's the story of the consumer confusion about the person's name and purchase. No, the statute has been interpreted to require a broader confusion of the general public. So, we are not arguing that it's to just be the direct purchaser who is confused with buying the product. However, when you want, when you look at that broader confusion of the general public, you use the name which is the form on the street, who may not be the smallest. And the biggest example where it looks like it's an authorized t-shirt, an average consumer might assume that that is a t-shirt. So, I don't think so. It's
because of
because your honor, you are, I go with the T-town call out that just because they're tall and subsequent to the arteries, so let's see, explain that you are defrauding the owner of that mark. You're taking the money away from the owner of that mark who has worked to, increase their retention in that. If you buy a Rolex, that's your pretty Rolex, because you want to show that you have a higher brand of watch. So you are, it's cheating, no, your honor, but it's cheating to manufacture those things. And cheating is part of the Supreme Court's definition of cheating, which is a falsification of concealing or cheating. And so because of this, all of the content of the conviction under the statute is subsumed into the IA's definition of aggravated felony. Each element that has to be proven requires that the conviction based on conduct that is possibly fraudulent, but likely to be fraudulent. And so, I mean, you even if you look at the language from Tall and Rodriguez Valencia, hold over the reasons from Tall into the counterfeit definition for an aggravated felony. That's a separate subsection. There are a couple of ones in 43 in the R subsection. And in that case, if you look at the California counterfeit statute, plaintiff's defense argued that California in Code 315 was not true of fraudulent. In other words, that the courses, especially if not necessarily the clause, the federal requirement is that the purchaser be certified on a false assumption. In the argument that the statute is Tall, in the aggravated felony context, it falls aside based on the previous rates in the case of Tall.
Well,
in
the case
of this case, it's
been controlled. But Tall, as we know, is interpreted by Rodriguez Valencia.
Yes, sir. I also think that the definitions
represented correctly here, Your Honor. Putting the rollers on rollers is strikes me as the error of fraud or error of simple helper. We need to find it. We have to speak to this lawyer. So this argument, if you raise for attention the definition of spurious or which is the cycle of confusion or cause of mistake, that's the word I'm going to fire at you. Correctly, that's just a mistake. It's a corruption. From our citizens, it's going to be the exact opposite.
Well, Your Honor, the statement is defined as a misconception or righteous belief. And to be back up to the elements of this crime, you have to intend to tell these defendants. So you tell these defendants how that you are causing this misconception. And that does still fall under the definition of deceit. And I'm going to give you an intuition that this requires qualifications. Concealed or cheating. I also think if you look at where they were looking at the same issue, the crime issue there was that both of them were starting to tax return and they came to the elements of that crime. The quality of the material is not the same quality as it is in the case of here. You have the options that are exposed to the return, but the locally settled form receives some sort of compensation for it. And you need to know that it is a tribunal. If these elements are all required by a statute, these are the Takashima. This court must find that a child in each of the years is categorically interviewed.
Well, if you would describe the total question, do you respond to your argument that the California statute includes prohibition against misinclusion? So as to the example of what we would represent, somebody's false t-shirts outside of the lawyer's name, and it says official t-shirt, lawyer is watching him, and he says, I'm going to be there, so this is the outcome. I think that would cause confusion.
It would cause confusion for the
president, you know, if he's out in the form, he might very well violate the statute.
It's deceitful, because he's a part of this outcome. And Your Honor, I think you should look at the big things, because I don't think that the prosecutor could prove all of the evidence with that characterization of confusion. I don't think it's inherently confusing to our jurisdiction position.
But it's still a chance to create a confusion for your position. So I think it's very confusing. So I think you should.
I don't think it's confusing under the definition of confusion in the trademark sense. Yes, Your Honor. I don't think any person, consumer, or any person close to that t-shirt would be confused as to the origin of the statement. If it says, it's a peaceful
statement, then you look and you see that a lot of people just see
pictures. Yes, Your Honor. We're also taking aggravated felonies where we need, we need a realistic probability. You've got it there at the moment. Also, that would be another case. And to provide examples of how cases should be done, this statute has been implemented in a manner. So I think that the present case as well, those are the more important ones. Ultimately, as it is in the briefs that it's now in the district judge, every instance in which a person may be prosecuted and convicted under this statute just falls into our jurisdiction for that reason alone. And if you have, it is the aggregate penalty under the Code of Criminal Procedure. Very hard question.
Thank you.
I'll just suggest a couple of points that were raised before. One was the question of is it deceitful to see the privacy that this is wearing a Rolex watch? And my supplement to the point would be that it's one of the last material time when someone's paid for it and actually wearing a Rolex cause
Thank you.